has. It already has. Welcome back, everyone, to a brand new episode of All Gas, No Trash, the one and only podcast where you have to wait for 1 minute before we can say cuss words. Also, today we're going to be doing what now? We're going to be reviewing L.A. Witch, new album?
L.A. Witch's Dog God, an album that was just released on Friday. So, yeah, we're trying to get to the McFlurry minute.
McFlurry minute? This is a good name. I would like to just open by saying that it has just come and been brought to my attention that there is a fellow ginger in L.A. Witch.
Yeah.
Or I would say ginger adjacent. I don't know if she's full ginger or not, but gingerish. So my opinion on this album may be swayed to the positive because of that factor. I'm just being honest. Full transparency here at All Gas, No Trash. I am a bit of a, I don't know what the word would be like for someone who prefers gingers over others. But I mean, I as a ginger, I mean, like, you know, it's kind of. I gotta represent my kind.
Ginger supremacist.
Yeah, I guess as a ginger supremacist, I would say, yeah, I need to stick with my kind. So.
Yeah. So, anyways, yeah, we reached the 1 minute mark, and
oh, thank fucking God,
McFlurry's for. No, I'm just kidding. I wish I can give McFlurry's out to everybody, but yeah. Hey, so,
do you remember McFlurry's when they used to fucking have the little spoon that they would mix it with? And now they don't have
the weird spoon that was like a medicine.
Yeah, but they would stick it in the machine. And the reason why it was shaped like that is because they would stick it in the machine and it would actually be the thing that mixed it.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah, that's why it was shaped like that.
Interesting.
Yeah, now they don't do that anymore.
Bitches.
Yeah, indeed. All right, anyway, so.
So we're gonna do the exposition first. So I was already.
Give me the lore on this because I'm very confused right now.
I'm having a hard time rationalizing listening to this album because I've heard a few singles.
Oh no.
And I don't think they're promising at all. Maybe it'll be different. Like listening to it here in the moment, all cohesively, all coherently in one listen.
The ginger one plays bass.
No, she plays drums.
Drums. Okay. All right.
Ellie English.
Okay. All right.
So I guess we could just start off with some of the things to talk about, which is, this album is comprised, or rather, this band is comprised of Sade Sanchez, who does the vocals and guitar, Irita Pai, who does bass, and then Ellie English, who is the drummer.
Irita Pai, what a fucking great name.
She's, I forget. Yeah, never mind. Anyways, I was going to say, I don't remember what her background is as far as like, Irita Pai, that sounds like Chinese, right?
Nationality?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I would assume, some sort of Asian. She looks Asian in the picture.
Yeah, I just don't know what country or whatever.
Oh, well.
I don't know. I'm not going to try to guess. Anyways, so I was trying to see where this thing was fucking recorded because that was kind of a big selling point for this album. So this thing was recorded at Motor Bay Studios in Rue de Martyr.
What?
I hope it's French.
Oh, in France?
Yeah, I think this was recorded in France. So this is like the first album they've recorded overseas. Mm. I think they've mostly recorded, or rather their last couple albums have been recorded in the United States. So this is a departure from their previous albums. One was more psychedelic garage rock, the first album, the self-titled album. And then there was Play With Fire that sounded more like traditional rock and roll with garage rock and shit like that. And this one's more post-punk. And this is not like a thing that was out of the realm of the possibility for the band because they have done post-punk songs within their album called Play With Fire. Mm. But if you can do the honors of reading the first two paragraphs, a little bit of a synopsis, some motherfucker apparently wrote a lengthy essay about the album itself and turns into a word salad. But just the first two paragraphs to give people an idea of what the album's about.
All right, okay. Is it start here at Dog God or is it up here?
Right there.
Okay, so I should do this in my fucking salesperson voice. L.A. Witch have always exuded an aura of effortless cool, whether it manifested as the Americana noir and laconic back-to-basics rock and roll of their self-titled debut or the blistering austere adventurism of their sophomore album, Play With Fire. The band, comprised of Sadie Sanchez, guitar and vocals, Sade Sanchez, guitar and vocals, Irita Pai, bass, and Ellie English, ginger, drums began as an began as an informal affair, but the sultry and beguiling reverb draped songs they created caught on with the public, moving the project beyond the insular space of the band's friends and peers in Southern California into the broader world. On their latest album, Dog God, the trio pushed their craft beyond their previous creative and geographical confines. What the fuck? Opting to craft the material in Paris, recording the tracks at Motor Bass Studio on the Rue des Martyrs. Dog God explores broader swaths of sonic terrain, employs a greater arsenal of tones, and probes larger existential and cosmic themes, all while retaining the band's signature sense of forbidden, forsaken, and foreboding. Dog God is a way of tackling the universal riddle tangled in the spiritual nature of love and devotion. I feel like I'm some sort of servant or slave to love, says Sanchez. There's a willingness to die for love in the process of serving it or suffering for it or in search of it. Just in the way a loyal, devoted servant dog would. The album title is a palindrome fusing together dog and God. An exaltation of the submissive and a subversion of the divine. It's a nod to the purity of dogs and an acknowledgement of their unconditional love and protective nature that's at odds with the various pejoratives associated with the species. There is this symbolic connection between women and dogs that expresses women's subordinate position in society, Sanchez explains, and anything that embodies such divine characteristics never deserved to be a word used as an insult. LA Witch now on for $9.99. You call 1-800, whatever. I don't know. I feel like that's what that was.
So that last bit about it being a palindrome and talking about the meaning of the title itself, that has redeeming qualities for me personally. I don't know if the album is going to live up to the expectation of like how it's presented.
I'm going to say that right now. That was a fuck ton of words, but I will say this, that shit made this seem like this is top tier fucking, whoever did that did a great job on those first two paragraphs.
Right.
I haven't read the rest of it, so I don't know if it just continues on with that same shit and it just repeats itself. But that, those two paragraphs already coupled with the fact that there is a fellow ginger in this band make me think this is going to be another 5-star classic, 10 out of 10, potentially.
Right. Oh, I don't know about that.
I'm just saying, it makes me feel that.
We'll see. I don't know if you've ever listened to post-punk, but this is a bit...
I don't know what that is. Yeah. Is it like fucking steampunk? I don't know. What is that?
It's like The Cure. It's like Joy Division, The Cure with... Well, not so much that last album, but... it's kind of hard to explain. But you'll get an idea once we actually listen to it.
All right.
Yeah, so let's get to... We're going to start off with track number one, which is, I think, called Icicle, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, Icicle.
All right, so we're going to start off with that track. So this is Icicle. Now let's get underway.
All right, that was track number one, Icicle, off of LA Witch's newest album, Dog God. I almost said Demigod, but it's Dog God. Before we say anything, I just had a question I forgot to ask you before we went into this.
Okay, right.
How long have they been around?
I think since probably 2012, but they didn't come out with their first album until probably 2017, around that time.
Okay, but they've been making music since like around 2012.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to say this now based on this first song. I feel like that 10-year window is now passed and they're fucked. Like,
this is not the way to start.
No,
an opening of an album, like it's not this. They're capable of making a post-punk album, but this studio that they worked with France does not represent them well. I don't know what is up with the mixing, but the fucking for sure the vocals are too fucking loud.
Yeah, for sure. I'm gonna tell you right now too. Whatever that shit was that I read in that paragraph about them recording in like fucking locations that capture this shit.
Confinements of
horseshit. Yeah. That is why this is going to suck ass. That was a mistake. These French bastards fucking screwed them so bad. And you know what? I will say this though, to give a positive note. I mean, that drumming from the ginger was fire. I mean, it was pretty good. I love that drumming. That's some real good drumming. And I have to give her props for for sticking with this, you know, through that song.
I don't know about this song. Like, I don't even know if I have anything nice to say. I don't really like the mixing of the song. Like I said, it's the vocals seem too loud, and I don't know if I like the way the drum kit sounds and the bass. I like the effect on the bass, but because it's got like this low humming tone to it. But because we're listening to it on a phone speaker, like I think I would actually have to listen on a proper set of headphones or speakers to get a better idea of how it actually sounds. But nonetheless, like regardless of that, I don't like how this thing is, this particular track is fucking mixed. Like, I just don't like this song in general. I thought this was fitting for the band to do a post-punk album, as I said before, because of the fact that in their second album, their sophomore album, Play With Fire, they made two tracks that were post-punk that were way better than this. And I feel like this is so crappy, dude. And it's going to be difficult to get through the other eight tracks. Like, this set the tone, and I don't know if it's going to get the
bad tone. It set the bad tone.
Yeah. So let's see what the rest of the album has to offer, and we'll see what happens.
All right, here we go. So this is track number two, Kiss Me Deep by L.A. Witch. All right, that was Kiss Me Deep. Track number two. What were your thoughts on that one?
I thought that was a better impression of this album than the previous track. And so there is something of like an ongoing theme about this like frosty medieval world, like that's kind of portrayed through the instruments, right?
Yeah.
And lyrically, the first song was talking about icicles and like the purity of them and being pierced by them or some shit, and allows you to see the light of, or like the truth of the world or some shit. Now we're talking about a relationship. And again, there's this comparison to dogs, like the loyalty of a fucking dog, and then the chainmail of like an armored knight definitely kind of like harkens back to old medieval fantasy stories and shit. So I like the melody played on, like the riff on the guitar reminds me of this band called they're called Cleaners from Venus. They have this song called shit, let me look it up because I might be forgetting the name of it. It's called Only a Shadow. So it definitely gives me some 80s post-punk vibes, and especially that band and that particular song. I thought it wasn't a bad track. There's something weird with the mixing. I don't know what it is. I don't know if I like it, but this was a step up from the previous track. Didn't love it, but I liked it.
Yeah, this song was, I felt, better than the first one. Just maybe they should have opened with this song instead.
Yeah.
But at any rate, we're starting to see, you know, a little bit better here. Yeah, this song was, I kind of felt like this was more about, I don't know, like kind of like the Grim Reaper.
The Grim Reaper?
Like death, because it's like, you know, the shimmery chains, which like, you know, the Grim Reaper has those fucking like chains and shit when he's like walking and stuff, and then it's like, there's no end to the sound. We're bound one more round. And it's like, oh, you're kissing me out of my black sleep. So it's like leaping into Sleepy your Beauty. Shadows, leaping into your gallows, like the prison of death or whatever. Like,
you know, I got you. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, shit, that's a fair interpretation. I was thinking more like Sleeping Beauty, but that's my personal interpretation.
Could be that too.
So
anyways,
that was right. Kiss Me Deep.
Yep. Now we go to track number three, 777. We go. All right, that was track number 3777 on Dog God. All right, so I think what they're kind of going for is, I think they're recording this shit in like medieval castles or like around medieval castles in France, because I feel like they're going for this weird, like, not weird, but it's this medieval type of sound, right? This is like post-punk in the medieval times. You know what I'm saying? I kind of
themed around that.
Yeah, it's thematically that, like the medieval times, and like this was about, okay, because I mean, listen, at that time in like medieval times or whatever, France was basically just at war with everybody. So this is like one of those deals. I mean, the Crusades were going on. Like, this is kind of one of those deals of like the loyalty of a soldier, and I think it's like it's 777 because it's lucky. Because they're talking about being wounded, but you're not dead. Like, you got wounded, so you're lucky, man. You didn't die, all right? Yeah, you got wounded, and it sucks, but, like, hey, man, at least you're alive, right? I don't know. That's kind of what I got.
And it says, does glory lead to our demise? Like, oh, you're lucky, but are you really going to end up lasting, because as war, you know, racks up casualties, you're just going to be another fucking number.
Yeah,
on the charts and shit.
And it's the search for glory on the battlefield that will lead to all of our deaths, essentially, is what it sounds like is being said.
Yeah. And I think maybe on a more subtle level, it's probably more alluding to like the battle of fucking love, yeah, that they're in this relationship. And, you know, it comes at the expense of both people that they're in this relationship, that, you know, all the tribulations that one deals with is portrayed through this idea of a soldier. And I don't know if it's like a damsel or something, maybe like a wife, right? A wife, yeah, to a knight or some shit. Right. And I don't know. I thought this was definitely the strongest track,
oh, yeah,
the best sounding track, with the guitar effects, with like that really distorted sound. But then there was like this open note played, or in the way you do it, I don't remember the exact technical term, but like, you put the tippy tip of your fingers on the, like, whatever the chord is, and you just play it that way. And that's how you get like that chimey sound, yeah, on the, yeah, guitar. But I thought this was the strongest track from the album, but it's there's something, consistently throughout the songs, it's like, I don't know if I particularly like the mixing. So I'm just going to get that out of the way and say that this is the thing I'm not like particularly fond of.
Yeah. All right. Well, fair enough. Let's go to the next track, which is going to be I Hunt, You Pray, but it's P-R-A-Y. Like praying. So here we go. This is track number 4. All right, that was track number 4, I Hunt, You Pray. And I think they should have prayed to the post-punk gods for a lesson in brevity, because Jesus fuck, that song was way too fucking long.
Dude, that was a hard fucking ass for any fan, especially somebody that is an adamant fucking LA Witch fan. That's a hard sell, dude, for 6 dude. Minutes of the same monotonous bullshit.
Yeah.
And then to do a 2-minute solo at the end?
For what?
For what? This is the time I would ask a producer to step in and say, hey, what do you think about this? And maybe they had a little bit more of initiative in saying, hey, this track is running a little long. People got shit to do. You know, you can't expect somebody to listen to a 6-minute song and have a 2-minute solo. I mean, It's a bit indulgent of the band itself to do a song like this.
Well, and it's also the same shit for 6 minutes.
Right.
There's no variation. It's like literally the same exact sound.
No tempo changes. Nothing. The only distinguishing factor in the passage of time is like the guitar riff or the lead guitar changing melody a little bit over the song itself, but it's the same thing all over. And I'm not going to even bother with trying to interpret the fucking lyrics of the song, because I have no idea what the fuck it's about.
I don't know either.
This by far was probably the worst track because of the longevity length of, yeah, it.
That was terrible.
So that's a no-no for me.
Yeah, I agree. I will say though, the drumming was fire. All right. Ginger lady doing the fucking job on the sticks. All right. Got to give her credit. All right, so let's get into track number 5, Eyes of Love. Track number 5, here we go. Oh, God damn that. Eyes of Love, and oh my God, this, you motherfuckers are testing me now. You're really fucking testing my patience here with this, what was alluding to almost another 10-minute song in total, because this started out as basically a continuation of the previous song. It did change a little bit, but this is not good. This is not good at all, man. I'm sorry.
No, this is shit, man. I really thought this would be an easy dunk for them because, again, I've said before, they've done this post-punk sound before in another album in Play With Fire. They, yeah, had a song called Sex Erexia, and
yeah, that sounds like a great fucking song.
It is a great song, and they had one other song that is also post-punk, but it's like something that should have been so easy for them. They just are erroneously like flopping, like, yeah, hard.
All right, think about this. Okay, you remember we talked about, and I said at the beginning, but you remember that time frame of like, okay, like that 10 years, let's say, is like the average that every band can last, right?
Okay.
I feel like with this one, they're like, oh shit, we're coming up on that. Well, we're over this 10 years, but we're coming up on from our first album dropping,
yeah,
this 10 years, right? Mm-hmm. We need to do something to, you know, change it up or do whatever, right? And they got into the section where it's like, you're doing too much. All right. You went to France. You're recording in some fucking metro station or some shit in the medieval castles. You're doing too much. All right. You're doing too much. You should have more so didn't go with the gimmicks of this fucking crazy shit like that. Those two paragraphs said, and just go make the music, man. Like, just, you're doing too much. Fucking just fucking relax.
You're too close, man.
You're too close, man.
I will say, I think the things that I do enjoy, whatever effects they're using on Irita Pi's fucking bass, that sounds cool. And I even like the spoken word aspect of the lyrics, whatever verses that Sade says on, that are done in the spoken word fashion. I think that's cool. The lyrics are just kind of like, eh. Not really all that inspiring to me, or they don't feel all that inspiring. Maybe I say that, but they probably put a lot of effort into making this whole album and shit. Well, they more than likely did. But we're at the middle point of the album, and I've already lost interest. This felt like a blend of the previous song, I Hunt You Prey. It felt like it was crossing over into this song, and there was a bit of a tempo change to distinguish the fact that this is two different songs, but not exactly inspiring a whole lot of hope for the rest of the album. As far as the interpretation of the song or the lyrics themselves, it seems like peering into the eyes of your significant other gives you hope about what could be in that relationship that you can all live happily ever after. And that's kind of like the gist of it, but it's all delivered in this goth post-punk medieval style.
Yeah.
Lyricism, which is fine. I mean, I'm not particularly drawn to it right now, but you know, who knows, man, maybe I'll revisit this album later and maybe it'll grow on me. But at this moment, it's just not hitting for me. So let's get to, I imagine what is track number 6 now, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, we're looking at track 6. So this is going to be The Lines.
They're about to cross the line potentially by pissing me off. All right, here we go. Track number 6, The Lines. All right, that was track number 6, The Lines. What do you got? What do you got on this one?
It reminded me a lot of 777. This song felt the most disjointed out of all of them, even though everything was in the pocket of the drums. I don't know if it was because of how loud things are that it felt out of pocket, or it felt like a cacophony where things were just kind of happening all over the place, and it almost didn't feel like it resembled a song at all. As far as the lyrics go, it seems like it's about mental health and dealing with the hand that you're fucking dealt in some situations, because there's this part about you shoot the stars, they're not aligned the way you hoped, you trace the lines, implying that, all right, well, life didn't go the way you planned in this moment, but you're kind of have to deal with it now. And yeah, that's kind of like the gist of the song. But again, it not only did it blend in with 777, but it, again, talking about the part where the mixing comes in, there was a lot of shit going on. I'm like, this doesn't feel, there's too much shit going on. That's all I gotta say. Yeah.
You're doing too much, all right? And they're doing this thing that I don't know if this is on purpose, but it feels like it's almost alternating between every other song. I'm not sure if it's exactly a 1-to-1 ratio of every other song, but it's like one song, the mix of the vocals is too loud. It's high, right? And then the instruments are kind of lower. And then on like the next song, the instruments are drowning out the voice. It's like, or the vocals. It's like alternating between those things.
It's too muddled.
It's muddying itself in each other. And I don't know whose fault that is. If that's the fault of the mixer.
That's the mixer, yeah.
Or what? But like, bad. It's not the same every song, which is bad.
Yeah.
Like if it at least was consistently muddy on one or the other. Okay, cool. That's seems like that'd be intentional. I don't know if this is intentional or not.
If it is, it's
bad. It sounds bad.
It feels like it's portraying that poverty sound like with punk like yeah, that. But I don't know if you would want to do that for this particular album because it doesn't sound good.
Well, and they're not a poverty band, so they're not a poverty punk band. So like it's not
it shouldn't be that. Yeah. It shouldn't be that. But also, I mean, maybe it's even the people that are the recording engineers. So that those are the people within the tracking room that, you know, set up the mics for the drum kit and all the amp stuff and figuring out how it's going to sound on the other end, like for the person listening in.
Yeah.
I don't know. It feels like there's a miscommunication going on with the team and the band themselves. Cause this, I don't know, man. I don't know. So
yeah, man. And listen, if you're going to go to France, there's also probably likely a language barrier somewhat. Like maybe that's where the miscommunication, things get lost in translation for people that aren't native English speakers. These ladies seem to be from Southern California. So, I mean, I don't know if they speak French or if these dudes over there, ladies that mixed it and they recorded it, they, you know, speak English well. Who the fuck knows? I will say though, Ellie English, fellow ginger, killing it on the drums so far. All right, you know, I really like those drums.
What'd you say?
A great job, Ellie English. Isn't that her name?
Yeah,
fellow ginger.
Okay,
killing it. I just want to throw it in there. I just want to stand up for my fellow ginger and just put her on the spot and say that she is the standout star of this band,
the beacon of light.
Yeah, the beacon of hope. So, all right, what's the next track we got here? Track number 7, Lost at Sea. Here we go. Track 7, Lost at Sea.
Now we're seafaring fucking medieval night or some shit.
I'm lost at fucking at this album. All right, here we go. You know, that was track 7, Lost at Sea. Okay, so now I understand the medieval vibe here, right? This is a modern day version of a medieval torture device. That's what this album is.
It's an Iron Maiden.
Yeah, it literally is, man. I figured it out. Holy shit. This is genius now because I want to kill myself because this is so fucking bad. Like you said, we just heard this song fucking 3 songs ago.
Yeah, it was Eyes of Love. This turned into a single guitar with the vocals of Sade Sanchez, and then now this person is now a seafaring person out there and lost at sea but free, talking about the how this person that they long for inspires them and it thrills them because of their gaze and who knows what other bullshit. Dude, this is a hard. I mean, I'm looking at this album and deciding which track is the worst. Because you have I Hunt, You Pray.
Pretty bad.
Which was 6 minutes long and painful. But this one felt disjointed from the whole goddamn album.
Yeah.
So I don't really have a whole lot to say about it. So,
all right, let's just get to the fuck it. Let's just get this over. Let's get to the next track. This is the title track, track number 8, Dog God. Here we go. All right, that was track number 8, Dog God, the title track off of L.A. Witch, Dog God. That was pretty bad.
I thought it was a better track. No. I thought the guitar riff, the piano, like, sounded like some motorcycle fucking music. Lyrically, making a comparison to a dog, making a comparison to oneself to being an old dog that can't learn new tricks is kind of funny. It's kind of.
I mean, it was funny to just be like, I'm a full grown dog. Like, okay, great.
It
like,
sticks with the theme of the album.
Yeah,
at least portrays the ideas that were presented in the exposition.
Yeah.
That we gave about the album, but and also it seems to be alluding to an abusive relationship about. The downside of being a dog is that you're submissive to your master and in a romantic relationship. That is not what you exactly want. You want it to be on equal terms, right? But and then they have the fucking audacity at the end of the song to have this reverby shit to end the song for 15 seconds. I'm like, that was unnecessary.
It was, man. That gave me tinnitus. Like, I definitely have tinnitus now. But also, I thought this song was about autoerotic asphyxiation. That's what I thought this was about.
Hey, it could be.
I don't know.
At this point, you're like, at this point, who cares?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't fucking matter at this point. Oh, Jesus. All right. Go ahead.
So, no, I think I'll add it at the when at it the comes end? To the album review, because okay. I forgot to make a note about one of the songs. I think it was in the second track that I forgot to bring up. Or no, rather, it is the first track, but that's besides the point. We'll get to that when it eventually comes to the album review. So, well, let's get to the next track.
Yeah, the next track's SOS, the final track, track number 9. I may be calling for SOS, and by that I mean the son of Sam to come murder me because I'm fucking tired of listening
well,
to this.
Somebody shut that fucking dog up!
Yeah, exactly. Anyways, all right, here we go. SOS, final track. Let's hear it. All right, that was the end. SOS, track number 9.
All right, I'm going to give him this. Narratively, I like the idea of this person within the song going on a crusade.
Uh-huh.
Them being, let's say, sent out to go find their significant other, like as if they were in distress themselves, right? Mm-hmm. So they go on a seafaring adventure through the mm-hmm. ocean, and then this SOS song is like the conclusion. It's like, oh, fuck.
I'm lost. I got fucked.
Huh?
I got fucked. I'm lost.
Well, I meant like they landed on shore, and now they're waiting for them to reunite, or they're trying to reunite from this long story. Mm-hmm. Portrayed in this fucking entirety of this album, but so do you have anything to say about the song itself?
No, that song was garbage.
Okay, so let me go ahead and make a note of that. I actually meant the fucking time.
Yeah, time. Okay,
so let's go ahead.
Overall album review and score, I guess, right, or whatever.
Yeah.
All right. So this is my opinion overall on the thing, right? And I'm gonna give my score of it at the end, but I think that this might be an example or a case of too many fingers in the pie or too many cooks in the kitchen. And what I mean by that is this was fucking some kind of artsy fartsy fucking weird ass shit going to France, having all this crazy shit explaining this album and the word salad. Already right there, I was like, oh man, this is like a try hard album, right? Like,
it's
kind of what it feels like.
You know what it feels like? It's like that movie from Francis Ford Coppola with Adam Driver that came out recently. You know which one I'm talking about?
What's it called?
It wasn't called The Architect. It was like Megalopolis, I think. It was about an architect, but I think it was called Megalopolis.
Oh, I don't think I saw that one.
Well, anyways, it's very dense. Like, it's very dense watching the trailer, and I feel like this is what's happening. This fucking album is kind of dense. And the way that movie is portrayed, I keep saying the word portrayed, within the trailer for the fucking movie, right? Uh-huh. They open with, hey, do you remember Francis Ford Coppola when he made Godfather and all those awesome movies?
Yeah.
Well, this is not that. Like, they have to preface that because the movie doesn't get its point across within the teaser trailer. So when they come out with the second trailer, they're like, hey, this is Francis Ford Coppola's movie, so it's going to be pretty good. You have to watch it. And with all the exposition that was given for the album itself and what I thought was cool or what I thought was interesting within that literature, it ended up like not even living up to everything that was written about it.
No, I will say that literature was fire, and there's no way anything can live up to that, especially the way I read it too. I mean, I did 10 out of 10 on my part by reading that out, but I just set it up for failure at that point. As far as a rating goes, this is
you
going,
can get ludicrous with this one. I don't care how you, I mean, not that I ever cared how you,
I get it. Okay, this receives a peach emoji out of 10, and it's a peach emoji because it's straight ass. All right, it's straight ass.
Out of
136. Okay, like, it receives a peach emoji out of 192.5. All right, that's my score. Straight ass. This was terrible. I will say this, Ellie English, please quit and go join another band because your talents are wasted here.
Damn, dude. You know what's funny? There's a lot of leeway with me when it comes to scoring an album, right?
Yeah.
we've given 10s out. That's even with the fact that there's some things that are flawed about albums, but it's not enough for me to take away. And here I find myself thinking, damn, you know, even with the songs that I did enjoy, it's not enough to salvage the whole album because I didn't like it in its entirety. And I found it rather I found it rather boring. And there are some cool things. I do like the fact that they kind of touch on some what I believe to be notable artists within the post-punk genre. Like, I feel like they have some songs that remind me of A4s from The Cure, or let's see, there was one track. There's this, the last track, SOS, kind of reminded me of the song called Let's Go to Bed from The Cure. And there's even tracks that kind of remind me of The Killing Joke, the band, and even The Cleaners from Venus. There's cool things like that for people that enjoy post-punk, right? But this just, it didn't do it for me. It, the fact that they went overseas to record this album and it, for it to sound like this, and it having been their third album, it's like, man, you had it right in some of the tracks that you had for Play With Fire. And I can't remember the other one. It's Sexorexia, and there's one other track that is post-punk. And I felt like if they stayed in that lane, they might have hit a nerve there, and they could have fleshed out what they were doing on that album. But this one, it didn't do it for me, man. In so many words, so I have to give it... This is so painful to say because I love this band dearly. It's a fucking 0 out of 10. It's a 0 out of 10, and it pains me to say that, but it just, even for the songs that I did like, it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough to salvage the entirety of the album, and therefore it's a fucking 0 out of 10. That's with the fact that there's 9 songs, but again.
Yeah, whatever. This was not good. And again, I think there was too much shit going on. I think they were trying to like go. And as you, and man, I'm telling you, dude, that 10-year deal, I feel like this is it. It's dead. You're dead now. You're dead in the water. All right. Like, this album, I don't know what other people fucking rated this, but
I'm gonna look it up.
I would venture to say, I don't know how like well known or like big they are. I would venture to say that a lot of reviews probably got paid for. I really think that. There's no way people are going to enjoy this, man.
I think, like, for people that enjoy post-punk that are very adamant about the genre itself, I think they'll find some redeeming qualities for it, but sure. not for the casual fan.
No.
Like, not for the casual music listener or the average music goer. I will say, for the minor things that I did enjoy, I did like that they added synthesizers into the mix. Kind of reminded me of The Cure. And also, like, the organs were really cool to hear, which they've done on other albums, but it reminded me a lot of the medieval times.
Yeah.
Like a medieval church or some shit. But again, it's just not enough there to salvage the entire album. So effectively, for myself, I've come to the conclusion that it's going to be a 0 out of 10, which, goddamn, yeah. Dude, coming from listening to Nice World, this was such on the other side of the spectrum that... I don't even know what else there is to say.
I mean, 2 episodes in a row, we did give out record scores. We gave a 11, and now we've given an emoji. So there you have it. First evers. Two first evers right in a row. And, you know, I really did believe that my bias towards my fellow Ginger was going to make me want to like this album more. But, man, it just couldn't. It started out bad, and it just couldn't come back. I don't know. I guess we'll see. I mean, hopefully they turn it around and they come out, you know, maybe go back to the roots or whatever, or stick to something that, you know.
I don't know what it's going to take. I really don't know what it's going to take for them to figure it out. But this album was a miss.
Absolutely. Anyways. All right. Well, you got anything else to say about it?
No, that was it.
All right. Well, those of you, and I would just like to say to the L.A. Witch marks out there, because I know we are probably going to get shredded in the comments for this. Realistically, when you go to shred us, realistically, take a look at your life and realize you're going to shred me for this? For this? If it was something else, or maybe the other 2 previous albums, all right, cool. You can think I'm being an asshole and maybe I'm crazy. But objectively, just look at it and go, God damn. They fucked up on this one. Everybody gets one.
I don't know, man. I don't know if you could. There's I don't know how anybody can defend this album.
I don't think so either.
I don't think there's any defending this album.
And I encourage you, if you didn't like, if you think we're dead wrong, please explain to me, because I fucking have no idea how someone could like this. But I could be wrong. So I guess we'll see. Anyways, all right, I guess that'll do it for us. We'll catch you guys on the next one. And in the meantime, go fuck yourselves.